Before we start our teaching today, I think it's a tea, I don't know what it is. But before we start that, I want to share a word that the Lord gave to me yesterday. It is found in Revelation 4, and it's verse 1. And it's only part of verse 1, so forgive me if you don't like people to do that. Revelation 4. Sometimes they say 1A or 1B or whatever. I don't know. This is what I had. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. That was the thing that the Lord told me. And this is what he said. The door is not being opened when he looked up. It was already open. It was standing open, waiting for people to come to heaven. God wants us in heaven with him. But he made a way. Jesus had to go first to open the door to heaven. You know that old song that said, God will make a way where there seems to be no way? You know, it looks like there's no way. Because we have trouble in our life and because we're not reconciled to God, there's various reasons we've never come to terms with the fact that Jesus went through the heavens and through that door into heaven and he made the way open for us. And I'm so excited about that. But I'm telling you that because that is what Jesus wants to say to you today. You need to know the door is standing open and it's waiting for you. If you've never walked through that door, I invite you to do that today. Please just take that one little step. You just have to take a little step, just a step, of having prayer with somebody today. There are a number of ladies, and one of them hasn't been actually asked but was recommended. Is Shauna. She doesn't know she's doing this. Shauna and Chris and Donna are here. If you want to be prayed for right now, if that word has spoken into your heart right now, the door of heaven is standing open for you right now. So you can just quietly come to them or go somewhere and they will go and pray with you and show you how to go through the door. Okay? All right. Now, this is called a journey in hope and a journey with purpose. On the 4th of August, after running 125 kilometers, over three Rocky Mountain peaks for 12 hours and 47 minutes straight. It wasn't me. Oh. Alex Petroski is the man who did it. He was 34 years old. He won the Canadian Death Race. Have you ever heard of that? Oh, I never heard of it before. It's disgusting. Can you imagine doing that? Well, he won it. It was in Grand Prairie. Grand Cache, pardon me. With the fastest time in 20 years, the grueling race left him with sore legs and blistered feet. It will take weeks for him to recover. But he said it was worth it all, and he would do it again. Crazy? We all have a race to run in our lives. We all have our own race to run. Okay? Now, we're going to go on a journey in hope today. We have a hope, and we have a purpose, and that is why I've called this Journey in Hope and Journey with Purpose. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures today. The format of these slides will be, there are scripture references that you can note down if you wish to. I'm not going to read all of them because I've got a bad reputation of going over time, so I'm not going to do that. But I will read a couple. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 2 says, Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses, and these are all the people in the previous chapter who were acknowledged for their great faith, and how they walked, and they trusted God, and they're looking forward to a hope that was waiting for them. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, yes, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. God gave him a job to do. He gave him a name. His name is Jesus, the Savior. And he had to go to the cross. That was his calling, to take our sins so that we could be born again into the kingdom of God by the Spirit. So it was hard for him. We also will feel at times like we have sore legs and blistered feet. Our journey is not going to be an easy one. It is a narrow way. You know, we sang a lot of songs today. I don't know if you notice, as you go along, you'll see how they actually fit with what I'm going to say today. And I want to thank Ben and the worship team today. I'm so touched by that because I, of course, didn't know what they were going to do. We haven't had communications, true. So I want to say, through many toils and trials and snares, we have already gone. But we're going to have some more. But grace will be with us, the Lord's grace, and he will carry us through. And the journey is with a purpose. In Philippians, there's a written by when Paul was teaching, he wrote the letter, not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on. You can't give up endurance and pressing on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. What has God called you to? What does he lay hold of you for? What is your plan? What is your purpose in life? God has a purpose for you. So, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. The man that wrote all these wonderful biblical passages and letters that we read. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, leave it, and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So it's all about pressing on and going toward. We have a journey ahead of us. As Christians, we want to walk with the Lord in the light of his word. It was such a treasure when Moses was speaking here and he asked us to sing that song. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. It doesn't matter if you're in death's dark veil, there's a glory because Jesus is with us. And if we do his good will and abide with him still, he is with those who will trust and obey. So, thank you, Moses. Indeed, that is an invitation to us as we read in Genesis 17, verse 1. God says to Abraham, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. How can we be blameless? Only through the blood of Jesus, right? Every journey has its difficulties, even though we walk with the Lord in his grace. The definition, one of the definitions of grace is free, unearned, or unmerited love and favor. So when we walk with the Lord in his free, unmerited love and favor, in his protection, his covering, we are aware of an enemy, the devil, who wishes to divert and distract us from our purpose of accomplishing our goal. Be of a sober spirit. You know that verse. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Ooh. Okay. Our journey is a journey of hope. Some of you might recognize this picture. When Malcolm and I were in Israel, we went to the Holocaust Museum called the Yad Vashem. It's a very dark place because so much of the Holocaust is remembered, and there are so many sad stories and stories of help and aid to these people that have gone through this difficult time. But when you come to the end of this long museum, you will see this, and it's like going from dark into light. It's going from a hard place into glory. Now, you know, we sang about this. You reached down into darkness, Lord, and you brought us out into light. We know God has brought us from darkness into light. And this demonstrates that to us. And we find hope in that. We know that there's going to be light there when we get to the end of our journey and during our journey, because the glory is with us. For those of us who have received Jesus as our Savior, we already come from darkness into light, and we have to walk in that light. And for those of us who haven't, let us do it today. C.S. Lewis said this, I love it. If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. I don't belong here. This world's not my home. How shall we accomplish this journey? We are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His boundless resource. Your word might say, in the power of His might. God's might. God owns might. He is might. All the might and the power is His. If anybody wants might, they've got to get it from Him. If anybody wants power, He is the source. Really, it says that. In 1 Chronicles 29. So then we also have to put on the whole armor of God. Put on God's complete armor so that you can successfully resist all the methods of the enemy's attack, all the schemes of the devil. He's got plans and schemes, and he tries them out on us. So we have to have these things on. So we're going to first put on today the belt of truth. Now, to talk about this, we're going to look at Genesis 3, verses 1 to 5, where there was Eve in the garden. You know, she was looking for something to eat, when along came a sneaky, snarly serpent and said to her, why don't you have some of that tree? Has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? Did he say that? He said it to Adam. I'm sure he told his wife. I don't know, maybe he didn't. And then the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the tree, all the trees in the garden, but of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, we may not. In fact, we dare not even touch it, because were we to do so, we would surely die. Whew. Is that what God said? No. He said you cannot eat of it. He didn't say you cannot touch it. So she already put her own interpretation on what God says. Take note of that. Then the serpent lied to her and he said, you're not going to die, for God knows that in the day you eat that, you'll become like him. And of course, that appealed to her pride as well. I want to know all these things. You'll know good and evil. You'll be just like God. And he lied to her. Please notice, as we earlier said, the woman added her own bit to what God said. We can be our own enemy at times. We've got to be very careful when we hear the word of God and read it that we don't add bits. All right. The devil was a murderer from the beginning, and he was a father of lies, and he's full of lies, and he lies all the time. He cannot speak the truth because there is no truth in him. None. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. He is a liar. What lies does he whisper to you today, this week? Some weeks ago, what twisting of the word of God when we read it and we say, oh, think God's speaking. Mommy, he's not really speaking to me. Somebody else, maybe. What is his interpretation of what God says? Look how he twisted that. Did you hear clearly what he said, or did you need to add a little bit to make it clearer in some sort of way? Do we find truth in the very inmost part of our being, in ourselves? Or has the devil pulled the wool over our eyes so that we can't really see the truth? Maybe even with our own consent. You see? We've got to be really careful, because the main thing about this is he is a liar. He cannot speak the truth, no matter how he tries. Jesus only is the truth. He is the way, the life, and the truth. But he is the truth, right? He will never lie to us. The only one who lies is the devil. He is also our righteousness. Now, I love the story in Zechariah 3, verse 1 to 5. I'm not going to read it to you now, but it's so awesome. It's such a picture of our salvation. There is Jeshua the high priest. He's standing before the angel of the Lord, which is a pre-incarnational picture of Jesus. And he's filthy, he's dirty, he's full of muck and tuck. I don't know if it's a word, but anyway, he was full of something. And there at the side, Satan was standing there at his right hand saying, you're dirty, you're ugly, you're sinful, you're wicked. Well, he didn't say that. He accused him. And then Jesus, well, the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Is this not a brand snatched from the fire? I am born again. I've been snatched from the fire. The Lord has done that and has washed me in his blood. He's washed means, well, I'm not dirty. And so remove the filthy garments from him. See, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with festal robes. Then I said, dear old Zechariah, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they did this, and clothed him with garments. The garments, the pure white garments, and the robe of righteousness. What a picture of our salvation. Jesus also had something very special to say to somebody just like us. Sometimes we get caught out in things that are not good and right. And that happened to the woman in the Bible. And she was accused of adultery. And all these men were doing at her. But you know what? Jesus bent down and he wrote in the sand. Then he looked up and he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Doesn't matter what people say. It does not matter. I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more. Have you heard that whisper? You aren't good enough. Remember the things you used to do. Remember your past when you were a kid and naughty. Oh, I've got some of those. Oh, remember the things you used to do. How can you be worthy to be used by God? Oh my gosh, you're not pure enough. Your sin is too bad to be covered by the blood of Jesus. I have seen in South Africa terrorists that were on death row giving their hearts to Jesus, praising God as they went to the execution, covered by the blood of Jesus. Their sins remembered no more. They had to do the consequence, but their sins were remembered no more. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We walk with Jesus. There's no condemnation anymore. If the devil has lied to you about that, please tell him to shut up. Okay? He's got no business. Do not tolerate the devil's accusations. We stand clean and forgiven in the blood of the Lamb. This week, when I was going through this, you remember the song from Sunday School, Wide, Wide is the Ocean, High is the Heavens Above? Does anybody remember that? Deep, deep is the deepest sea is my Savior's love. This is the poet. I, though so unworthy, still am a child of his care. For his word teaches me that his love reaches me everywhere. Yeah. Jesus also is the Prince of Peace. The Bible doesn't say the gospel of peace. It says we have to have our feet shod with the gospel of peace. Matthew 28 is the Great Commission. It starts with a very important word. Go. For that sometimes we put shoes on. Go with your feet shod with the gospel of peace. It's a gospel of peace. It's different to every other gospel. It's got peace. Go. Go. With your shoes on. Isaiah 52, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace, and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation. Would you hear the enemy whisper this to you? Surely it's not your feet he's talking about. Heavens! When did your feet ever look beautiful to strangers? I know somebody, he's not my husband, don't get me wrong, who has to go to bed with socks on because his feet are so ugly. But Jesus says how beautiful. The Word of God says how beautiful are your feet. So I make jokes about feet, but feet are very important, shod in the gospel of peace. So this is what the enemy says. And he says, you don't have money to go out and share the gospel. You need to let others go. You are needed here. We can't leave the church because I'm counting the money or I'm doing something else that's important. And so therefore, I cannot go on a mission field or something. Or you need to let them go. You are not good at evangelizing. That is not your gift. For years I told myself that. I listened to what the enemy said because I thought it was not my gift. You know why? Because I didn't want it to be my gift. I was scared and I didn't like the idea of it. I thought, yuck. So now I don't listen to that anymore. If God is always with us, we have no need. For he is the great I am. He is our provider, our rock, our defender. He is our shepherd. We sang that today. We will have no need. But there is something else here. Not just sharing the gospel. God wants us to walk in peace in our lives every day. You see? Be anxious about nothing. You know the enemy came to steal and kill and destroy. So he wants to steal our peace when you go to bed at night and you worry about what you didn't do. Or you worry about what's coming tomorrow. Be anxious about nothing, but in prayer. But everything in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will be with you and will give you peace in your heart and will be your great strength. So that the enemy says, you don't have what it takes to do what God is telling you to do. You won't meet your budget this month if you give money away. You'll never have victory over this depression, illness, sorrow, problem. That's not the truth. It's a lie. He also wishes to steal our unity and love for each other. But this is what we hear from God's word. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Live in peace with each other. Do you hear the destroyer of our communities saying, so-and-so is impossible to work with. He or she is not quite my cup of tea. Or you can't trust that one. Look what they've done to you before. Why would you trust them? Not the truth. Lies. So we have to take up the shield of faith to quench those darts, to quench all those lies. Jesus himself, these two scriptures I do want to say, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you. That comes after the part where it says, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Luke 1 verse 45 is beautiful to me. It's been with me all my life for a long time. Not all my life, probably. When I started to get sense. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. Blessed is she. Blessed is he who believed that God is going to fulfill the promises given you. Some of you have prayed a long time, but God will fulfill the promise. These are scriptures that we can declare when we are challenged in the area of our faith. This is the promise of God for every situation we face. But Jesus asks this question. One day when he comes, and it's not going to be long, it's coming soon, will you find faith on the earth? You'll find that in Luke 18, verse 8. The last part of that verse. It's time to start believing, trusting, obeying, no matter what the cost, stepping out in faith, walking on water if necessary. And I hope I'm not preaching to myself, but I believe I am. But they've got to go out and walk on the water, right? Not easy. Okay. Now we have the helmet of salvation, which is easy to say. We know what that means. But the enemy comes there. If he gets away in there, he brings you doubts about your salvation. But God doesn't want you to have doubts, because we have a hope that serves as an anchor for our souls, that Jesus has died, Jesus has promised, he'll take us into glory, he will never leave us alone. We sang it today. He will always be with us. Wherever we go, he will be there, and he will take us home to glory. He went as a forerunner, and he became a high priest forever to bring us into glory. We must not move away from the hope of the gospel, guys. We must stay with it. I know people who have moved away from that. And they don't have hope anymore. How sad is that? And if we see somebody without hope, we should encourage them. For I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the good day of Christ Jesus. He will. He will do it. All right, now the sword of the Spirit is a very big thing. If you read about what happened to Jesus, it's very interesting because he was baptized in the water by John. At that moment, he was baptized by the Holy Spirit. And he came out of the water, and immediately he was sent into the desert. He didn't have a chance to prepare, nothing. Guess he was prepared. He was sent into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And what was his weapon of choice? It is written. It is written. When the enemy comes to attack us on our salvation, we can say, it is written. Jesus died for my sin. It is written. I'm going to glory. I don't care what you say. It is written. How will you know it is written? You need to know the Word. We need to get into the Bible. We need to read and read and read. Tell me the stories of Jesus, the children say. I want to know about Jesus. Tell me how to walk in your ways. Teach me. Jesus gave us this great example. And we need to know the Word. And if we don't know it yet well enough, if we're still learning, we can search out scriptures that apply to the need we have. And then say to the enemy, it is written. It is written! Sorry, I'm having a bit of boldness today. I can't help it. I'm very excited. Then in Zechariah we read that it doesn't matter what the mountain looks like. It is moved by the Spirit of God, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Yeah, what mountain can stand in your way? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Nobody. No one. Yes. Yes. No one can stop the Lord Almighty. He's all-powerful, almighty. What silly little person can stand against him? Not going to work. Okay. Okay, I don't even know what time I'm on here. I hope I'm okay. But don't worry. So, now the other weapon we have. Man, this is a big thing for me at the moment. Prayer. This is war. When the enemy sees us praying, you must see we are declaring war. At the moment, the nations are in turmoil. They're uprising. This one is shooting off missiles. That one is saying rude things. People are getting all muddled up. And people are thinking, oh, was that a declaration of war? Oh, was he saying he wanted to get more weapons? The enemy needs to see prayer. Amen. That is our declaration of war. I'm tired of being like a little turtle, covered in the breastplate of righteousness and having my little shoes on my head. I want to stand up and say, you just be quiet. This is a declaration of war and I'm not listening to you anymore. We're not going to have it. We have to pray at all times. We know the story of the persistent widow. She was a nagger and she went and nagged at the judge to get away and she got away then. But how much more so? Will not God see that we get what we need? And we don't have to nag him. We ask him. He does say something rude like night and day or something. What does it say? Okay. Who cry to him day and night. I guess we don't get too much rest there. You've got to pray. But the thing is persistence. The thing is energy. The thing is pushing through, pushing through. One of my most favorite verses is in Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us therefore, another therefore, we have to think of why is it there? Wherefore? Because Jesus went through the heavens, he's opened the gate of heaven. He sympathizes with our weaknesses because he's been a man, he's been a person. But he wasn't a sin. This is what it says. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, to the throne of free, unmerited love of God. He's free, unearned. We don't say, oh, well, I'm not worthy enough to go there. I didn't really earn my way to go to the throne of grace this week. No, it's unearned. It's unmerited. God's love. And why are we going there? That we may obtain his mercy, his covering of mercy upon us. Oh, Lord, have mercy on us. You have had mercy. We want more mercy so we may find grace to help us in our time of need. Pray at all times, pray in the Spirit and with understanding about everything, big and small. Never say it's too small. Never say it's too big. I prayed like that a few weeks ago. I'm still waiting for something to happen. Looks a bit big to me, but I'm hoping God will fix it. So I'm sure he will. Ask, seek, knock. The enemy especially wants to steal our prayer time. Have you ever found that? You want to go and pray, or you want to come on a Wednesday night, or you want to do that, and you can't come. Something happens. And you can't get here, or you can't go to your room and pray, or the phone rings, or there's a doorbell ringing. Ignore, ignore. Jesus is most important. The enemy knows where our strength is. He knows it. And he doesn't want us to be strong. And he knows that God hears and answers the prayer of his people. Look what happened with Elijah. He prayed for a drought, it came. He prayed for a flood, it came. Good heavens, I wish I could do that. But the same God is our God. Same God. So prayer is our secret weapon. Yeah, okay, now this one here. The path is ever brighter to the end of day. I love that. Because you can read it there. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. Do you get up before dawn? Do you see the sun beginning to rise? It shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The path is ever brighter. We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, if you looked at yourself in the mirror every morning, you'd say, I don't see any transformation here, guys. But I'll tell you what, somebody who knew in me when I was a teenager or a kid or a young woman might say, oh, she's changed a lot. Hey? It's like when I haven't seen little grandchildren for a long time and all of a sudden they're up there. And we say, what happened? What happened? How did they grow so quickly? We are being changed. From glory to glory. Every day. So excited. Okay, now we get to this place where hope is found. God is so good. There is a reward in heaven for us. We can no longer walk in shadows cast by the enemy of our souls. We need to be proactive in rebuking him so we can stand. We can submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from us. I want to be there. I was singing the other day, when all my labors and trials are o'er, and I'm safe on the heavenly shore, when I'm by that dear person, I'll see his face. That will be glory for me. But it's not. It's glory now. Because Jesus' blood, his resurrection, is our glory. Jesus' crucifixion is his glory. And it's also the glory that we hope for in heaven. And we don't know what heaven really looks like. I'll put that there because I like the color. Didn't know. But anyway, I do entreat you today to get proactive with warring against the enemy. The time is short. All around us, we see our society being pulled apart. In the course I'm doing at the moment, dealing with the United Nations Convention of Cruelty to Children, I'm telling you the things that are happening are utterly, utterly anti-God and awful to young children, to older children, to women, to men. So, we're going to, in a minute, declare praise to God. But before we do that, I want to say, if you haven't yet started on your personal journey with Jesus, your journey of hope, if you're still wallowing around in hopelessness, start on your journey of hope. Have a companion with you. You want to know Jesus, and we would love to introduce him to you. Also, this could be you, if your road is particularly bumpy right now. And there's dongas in, what do you call that? I can't say that. It is holes in the road and ditches and bumps and there's rocks and the car is doing this. We would like to pray with you. Enemy has been putting obstructions in your way. And so we'll pray together. But right now we're going to declare Jude 24-25. In your heart, I would like you to do this. If you want to say the words, you can. But I didn't write them up there. I'm going to read them from here. But I believe this with all my heart. Because today, brothers and sisters, you stand clean before the Lord. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven. We're already blameless before him. Jesus has made it so. So I will say it here. Now, this moment, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Just a moment. I wonder if it's his joy or mine. He'll be joyful, I'll be joyful. He will present us in the presence of his glory, faultless. to the only wise God, our Savior. And we'll know then why we had to go through all these difficulties. Be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Woo-hoo! Oh, I'm noisy, I'm sorry. Oh, but I love Jesus. Thank you, Chris. Done. Okay. All right.